having some wonderful services this weekend with Pastor Doug ministering to us. I just want to mention the Embassy Church in Oshawa. If you want to go and see a bit what Doug's about, you can go to that website at theembassychurch.ca. Theembassychurch.ca. That's in Oshawa. God is doing some great things there through Doug's ministry, and he's really been a blessing to us, and he has been involved in impartation and so forth, and it's just all really wonderful. And we are becoming more and more connected with Pastor Doug and his ministry, and he really walked, you know, the Ephesians 4:11 says that Jesus gave some apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, there's a number of giftings that Doug walks in, but the gifting that he's really, I think, primarily focusing right now is in the office of apostle. I believe Doug is an apostle. He walks in that apostolic ministry. That's why he can come to places like this and impart. And so I want you to really be able to receive from him as a man of God, a man that's after God's heart. There's some people you can just totally kind of open to. You watch their life. I've known Doug for quite a few years now and have a sense of being able to open up completely and allow him to be able to minister and speak into my life and speak into the life of this church. And so I'm really looking even for a greater flavor of the part of his ministry and being aligned with him in the kingdom of God. So be open, be believing. He's going to come in a few minutes, but I want somebody to come just first here. Thaddeus, I want him to come up here. I'm going to get you to hold this for me, Thaddeus, because this is a scrapbook that Thaddeus made for his school, and he put a whole bunch of stuff in it, and I can't go through all that, but I want to read to you the last part of it. And the last chapter is, I wonder what I'll do when I grow up. So this is what he put down. I wonder what I'll do when I grow up. When I grow up, I would like to be a preacher of my own church. I like to be close to the Lord all the time, and I would like to teach other people about the Lord's love for them. I want to show them how to follow the Lord and teach them about the Bible. I just want to have a small church beside my house in Orville Cove. I also want to teach how to break generational strongholds so that families can live in peace and harmony. The thing I really want to teach is to teach teenagers that addictions to drugs and alcohol have no purpose in one's life, and these things will actually destroy them. The Lord's gifts show them abundance and joy. People have to know that the Lord wants to be a part of everyday life. In closing, this is one of the most important things that I want to do when I grow up.
Amazing. Amazing.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. The other night when we were here Friday night, there's something happened in Thaddeus's life. When I encouraged everybody to begin praying in other tongues, just as a release of the Spirit, what happened, Thaddeus?
I felt the church tremble, and I started to talk in tongues with everybody.
For the first time. So the Lord filled them with the Spirit. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Lord, I just speak blessing upon Thaddeus. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for his heart. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, so much for the direction in his life. Mm-hmm. Lord, may your Spirit ever be drawing him, that Jesus will be exalted. Thaddeus, what was happening when Doug was speaking to you?
I started to tremble too. I felt the Holy Spirit come on to me.
Just a real witness of God's grace, even as a prophetic word is released. Bless you. Thank you, Thaddeus.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful. Amazing.
Pastor Doug, we love you, man.
Love you.
Just awesome for you to be here, and we just so appreciate the things that you impart, and we ask you to come now and just feel free to move as the Holy Spirit leads.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Stand up. Give him a big hand.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Now I ask you to do that, not just merely to honor the man, but I want it as a demonstration in the spirit that we receive what he's about to release.
It's good. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Please be seated. You're very kind people. My goodness. And I fully understand why you would love Pastor Billy and Debbie so much. I love them myself and have for a number of years. And the time that I come to be able to spend time with them and their care of me while I'm here is... are you getting the same? Yeah? No, that's okay. I'll keep talking. Yeah, there, we'll work it out. It's my deep voice in the morning that he'll have to adjust it for me. Just your care of me and kindness to me while I'm here is really amazing, and I appreciate it very much. I want to say it publicly as well, and I value every local church that I would be in, that I see that the grace of God and people who have poured years and their lives into the ministry, and I know that there is always a support team as well. And so I value what God is doing through others in this place, as well as, you know, a church is more than just a Lions Club or a Kiwanis Club, as good as community clubs are. It's really the local church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you want to give care for that. And so thank you for having me. Thank you for being here. You're very kind people. And for an hour early, you got out of bed. You seem quite alert. That's amazing. I have to share some things. I don't know what it is, but I've been looking at a number of the stores. I'm more alert on this trip. And I looked at a number of the stores and restaurants and so on. And they tend to be named after... usually a lady. You know, there's one fellow named Fred. It's called Fred's Restaurant. But a lot of the places are named after a lady. And so Pastor Bill took me to a place yesterday for lunch, and the place is called Maggie's. So I asked for Maggie. And they said, oh, Maggie's not here. And I said, well, where's Maggie? Oh, she sold it. Well, who's here now? And it was like Sally or somebody. And I thought, how can you still call it Maggie when Sally's running the place? But was it Maggie's? And Maggie has. It's called a newbie. It's a new item on the menu. And it is salmon stuffed with lobster. Oh, I'm getting hunger pangs right now. And, you know, where I come from, you would pay $30, $40 for it. And I think it was all of $13. And, you know, when I saw the price, I thought there couldn't be much lobster or salmon that's going to come, but it was stacked up all over the place. Just amazing. And now, there's another place. So far, I can't, you know, give my stamp of approval. Her place is called Anna's. And I heard Anna has great coffee. And Pastor Billy said to me, would you like a coffee at Tim Hortons or Anna's? And he said, you know, for myself, you know, he's speaking, I'm going to have my coffee at Anna's. So I said, well, you know, I really do like Roll Up the Rim and Tim Hortons, but we'll go for Anna. So we went and drove through Anna's, and something was wrong with Anna's coffee machine, because there was water and there was cream, and I think that was about it. I just couldn't taste the coffee. And even Pastor Bill said, you know, I think Anna didn't have it quite right this morning. So we're going to give her one more try. And maybe even if we say, listen, we rolled up the rim, Anna, and you got to give us a free coffee, that might work. But great food here, great hospitality, great kindness. Claude, I don't think you should quit your job. I love the man, you know, but the stomping, you know, I'm like, I felt it. I know some of you are saying is stop meddling and just get preaching.
No, you're a lot of fun. You're a fun place. I always figure if you can't, you know, enjoy yourself when you come together in church, you're in real big trouble. You're in big trouble. Well, I have a real, I believe, clear sense of what we're to do this morning. And so I want to speak pretty directly and be able to share with us what I believe Holy Spirit has given. And I believe that there are people here this morning that you will have reason to adjust. One of the things that, before I was aware even of the time change, one of the things that the Lord had given me, especially, I think it was Friday night, and I spoke it into Pastor Bill and Debbie's life as well as this place, is that it was time. I saw a stopwatch, and I said, it's not a stopwatch, but it's got a top on it, and it's actually a reset of the clock. And I'm not even thinking that it's this weekend where you have to set your clock. It's a reset, and it's the hour goes forward, and it's the month of March, and it's a marching forward. And so my sense, prophetically, my sense of what God is saying is, whatever your life has been, it's time for a reset. And whatever you've enjoyed in the past, whether it has been difficult or real easy, it's time to reset. Sorry, I didn't know whether it was an angel or... there we are. Time to... I might need to blow my nose, so I'll put it here. If someone's listening, I'm just talking about a serviette that was flying through the air. If that helps you understand better, not having the visual. And so my sense is that all of what you've had in the past, there's a time to reset. And all through Scripture, you'll find that. You don't have to just go from an old covenant to the new covenant, but there are people's ministries in the Bible, and it was a reset. And sometimes it was this good, but God wants to do that much, and He wants to make it better. Other times it was through difficulty, and He reset them. And He wanted to do more. And I have a very clear understanding of a reset in this house. And that it's not something that is about to begin, it's already begun. And that the reset especially, and that's why it's so key for a leader to experience it and to understand the word of the Lord in his and her life, is that it affects the whole house. And I believe that there's a reset in this place. And that you ought to anticipate, expect, and take a reset for your life. That just like you had to change your clock, and you actually moved the hands around, however it was, digitally or manually, you actually changed the time. So it is where the Lord says this morning that it's a reset for your life, and whatever the past has been, you're not in the old and you're in the new. Having said that, I woke up this morning to a specific word. After yesterday, I enjoyed yesterday. We had a full day, and I was just wanting to get a sense for this morning. And I woke up with a scripture verse, and I'll share with you what it is. John chapter 16, if you want to turn to it in your Bibles. And then I'm going to be sharing some specific things, and we're also going to share... around the Lord's table. John chapter 16, and beginning to read at verse 13. It begins by saying, however, Jesus is speaking, and He says that there's a change. It's a reset. He's ministered to people, and He's touched their lives, and He says, but things are going to change. And the change is, verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So Jesus says, I've received from the Father, and Holy Spirit is taking the things that I have and he's going to share them with you. And Jesus says, I've shared some things with you, but I can't share them now. You wouldn't be able to bear them. You wouldn't be able to grasp them. You wouldn't be able to understand them. And this is why it's better today with Holy Spirit inside of us than it is Jesus walking beside us, because with Holy Spirit in us, we'll understand more the revelation and the power of God and walking with him as a person than we ever would by having Jesus right beside us. And so I don't long for the days when Jesus walked this earth. I'm glad that I'm in a better time when he walks and talks right inside of me. And this is what he wants to do. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide us into all truth. I want to share something with us this morning that's very specific. And I believe that for some people, you need an adjustment in your life. And you'll know exactly how after I've finished speaking several things. Holy Spirit is a person. Whatever we do here this morning and whatever we've done here, it is not religion. It's not form. We can do different things, but it's not form. It's not just a religious exercise. But in fact, I have within me, and if you're a believer, you have within you the person of Holy Spirit. I have wanted to learn and walk with the Lord where I can speak and I can still hear his voice talking to me at the same time. And it's not a distraction. I can be on the telephone speaking and listening to someone, and someone will be talking to me, and it'll distract me, and I'll try to figure out who am I going to listen to, the one on the phone or the one who's talking to me just beside me. But when Holy Spirit's in me, I can literally be speaking, and I'll hear his voice give me some guidance while I'm speaking. It's because he's a person. He talks. There's a person called Holy Spirit, and he comes with the presence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And so that's why I always expect something to happen when I'm in a meeting. I don't have to be the speaker at it. I just expect because God is here. And so it doesn't matter whether there's an outward form that's dramatic or whether there's something sensational taking place. If I never felt anything, I still know God is here. I know this morning that God is here and he wants to do specific things in people's lives. Holy Spirit is here. I listen to Holy Spirit. I invite Holy Spirit. I welcome Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, we need you to minister to people this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. That's the relationship that I have with him. That's the relationship that he needs to have with you. I want to take you through several scriptures that are important. Maybe if you turn, there are times when I will speak expositionally, it's called, where we'll just take, just a certain group of scriptures. Other times, I'll just hit some places, and I want to hit some places this morning. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, there's a wickedness and a sinfulness that's all across the earth, and God can hardly believe how bad things have got. In fact, he actually says in verse 6 of chapter 6, the Lord was sorry that he made man in the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. He repented that he had made man because his heart and his hope was that they wouldn't go into sin in the way that they did. And here in verse 3, he says this, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. I have a marginal note here, and the marginal note is, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. The marginal note is, my spirit shall not abide with man forever. It has a thought of God saying, listen, I'll go after you, and I'll try to reach you, but I'm not going to stay with you forever. Things are going to change. And this is probably the worst situation anyone could ever be in the Bible, because it's somebody who's unsaved. And God just says, listen, I can't live this way, and you're not responding to me, you're not responding to me, you're not responding to me, you're not responding to me. And it's continuous, and finally it's climactic, and God says, and 120 years went by. And God says, finally, there's going to be judgment. And that's precisely why you read in the scriptures where after this, you have a flood and the judgment of the flood. Some people wonder why it is that Methuselah lived to be 969 years. He lived to be the longest of anyone on the face of the earth. His name actually means when he is dead, it shall come. And it meant that when Methuselah dies, that's when the flood would come. And what God was saying is, I'm merciful, but I'm reaching out to you. And so for Holy Spirit as a person, he's very intelligent. He's very merciful, but he says, I can't abide in this forever. Then you turn to another place in Scripture, and it's Acts chapter 7. I don't know how many places I'll go to this morning. Acts chapter 7, and we'll pick it up in verse 51. Stephen, a deacon in the church, he's anointed, signs and wonders. And in verse 51, Stephen speaks to these people and he says, you're stiff-necked, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised. In other words, your hearts haven't been cleansed and your ears, you're not hearing properly. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did too. In other words, again, it's speaking to people who are unsaved. They don't know Jesus and they're not walking with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is so real a person that you can resist him. You can actually put up a wall and resist. You can be in church meetings and resist. And he's a person. And you push him back and push him back. And it's interesting, you know, when people resist, kind of a force upon force, something's got to give. And what gave here is they killed Stephen. It's the first martyr of the Christian church. Their way of killing him was they picked up rocks and they stoned him. They threw rocks at him until he died. And it says that Stephen went to heaven. And he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. He picked up the words of Jesus when he was on the cross. What were they doing? They were resisting Holy Spirit. A resistance. It's interesting that, and understand this, no person ever goes to hell. They fight their way to get into it. You've got to really work at it to get into hell. You do. You've got to fight at it. You've got to resist praying grandmas. You've got to resist Christian radio and television broadcasts. Christian, you know, pamphlets tell you how to get saved. You got to resist churches that you're driving by, and you've got to resist the preacher if you're inside the church and listening to the preacher preach. You got to resist the Christian singing. I'm like, you've got to resist the Bible. You've got to resist all of these measures of mercy to draw you to Christ, and you have to push against them. And be able to, you know, somehow say to yourself that I don't want to listen to Holy Spirit. It's not I don't want to go to church, I don't want to look at a cross. It's you resist the person of Holy Spirit. Fascinating. The scripture also speaks of, and now I want to appeal to Christians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give you a moment to find it, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then you'll hit Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says this, verse 19, and the context is surrounding giving thanks to the Lord, having a great attitude, and not despising prophetic ministry. And it says this in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And understand, Holy Spirit is a person. And you say, well, what does quench mean? We often use it as, I want to quench my thirst. It means to put something out. If there was a flame, we would put our finger on the flame on the candle and put it out, snuff it out. If we were to, it actually has the thought here of pouring water on a fire. There's something burning in your heart, and Holy Spirit wants it to burn. And instead of fostering the flame, you put water on it, and you either put the flame out or you, do the next thing to it and just so disregard Holy Spirit's work that it's as though the flame of Holy Spirit is no longer burning with warmth in your heart. There's some people who go to church and they say, Pastor, don't preach, and they'll tell you how to preach because they don't want Holy Spirit to speak with conviction. There are people who will have positions in churches and they'll try to quench Holy Spirit. They'll say, we don't want that kind of thing happening in our church. And I learned a long time ago, it's not your church and it's not my church, it's His church. And the flame is supposed to burn in church. When unsaved people come to church, Holy Spirit as a person needs to be met. And we don't want to put His fire out. Holy Spirit, you're welcome at Faith Works. You're welcome here. We don't want to quench you. I don't want to rationalize you away. I don't want to disregard you and go through religious form, come in a certain way and leave the same way and never have the supernatural happening in my life. So it says here, don't quench Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to another one. It's Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and begins at verse 7. Scripture speaks here something, and I've never heard anyone speak about this before. And my background for it is very interesting. I didn't know this, and I'd been to Bible school, and they tell you all the different things that you can experience with the person of Holy Spirit. But I was praying one time, a number of years ago, it was in 1994, 95, right in there, and I wanted to hear God's voice. And by that, I wanted to consistently walk with the Lord and hear His voice. I'd been in Christian ministry for a number of years, but I wanted to really walk close, and I wanted to more than just have impressions and promptings. I don't mind that. I can live that way, but I wanted more of God. And I went to bed on a Friday night, and Saturday morning around 6:10, 6:13, somewhere in there, I heard out loud, I'm not talking about a prompting, I'm not talking about an impression, not talking about I think the Lord said or I felt. I'm telling you, I heard out loud these words. What makes Holy Spirit angry? And then, I never heard it, but I saw Hebrews 3, verse 7. It didn't say verse, it was just 3:7. I had no idea what that verse was. It's the very portion of Scripture we turn to. Hebrews 3, verses 7 to 11. And so I got up and I looked in my Bible and I saw where this portion of Scripture speaks that you can actually make Holy Spirit angry. I suppose, if I bugged you enough this morning that you'd become angry at me. If I came up and poked you and prodded you and was unkind to you, eventually you'd get angry at me. Maybe now you're not angry at me. But if I worked at it, I could make you angry at me. And that's the way it is with Holy Spirit. He's a person. You can poke and prod and, fine. And eventually, He can get angry over some things. Who would have thought that, huh? He's that much of a person, a real person, that you can actually so not be cooperative with Him and His ways. And He says, that generation, it's a quote from Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11, and it's also a quote from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, where 12 spies went to spy out where God wanted to take the people. 10 came back and gave a what? Bad report, a negative report. 2 gave a good report, and Holy Spirit was angry. Do you know the background to the story was, at that time we had a pastoral staff. And there were two people who were on our pastoral team who didn't really want to, you know, go deep in Holy Spirit. And they were very well trained in ministry, but didn't want to walk in Holy Spirit. And there was no extreme or fanaticism going on or anything like that, but they just wanted, you know, like this. And it was interesting that the Lord had given me a dream subsequent to that Hebrews 3 and 7, what makes Holy Spirit angry? You know, when God asks you a question, the question is for you to find the answer. It's not that he doesn't know the answer. And in the dream, the brevity of it was that these two fellas were on board a ship with me. And just above the ship were vultures, kind of like birds that would be like vultures or seagulls. And then above, there were other birds, and these were eagles. And I knew in this dream that the eagles above was what Holy Spirit wanted to bring. But these vulture birds wouldn't allow the eagles to come down to where we were. We got off the ship. The ship finally landed on the shore. We got off the ship. And I saw a group of ministers, and I walked over to them, and they were talking about these two ministers. And they began to criticize these two ministers, these ones that are on my staff and didn't want Holy Spirit to move. And I looked at the ministers and I said, don't you criticize them because they're the Lord's. And then the two ministers got on board the ship again without me, and they sailed off to the west. And the Lord said, in 3 months, one will be gone, and in 6 months, the other one will be gone. And in 3 months, one of them was gone and moved to the west, and I could tell you the province. I don't know whether it's live streaming or what here, so I'll be careful. And in 6 months, the other one was gone.